2 Corinthians. We have been here last week. We have been here on Wednesday, and we'll be here again this morning, and then we'll be here again tonight in preparation of our missions conference. And this will be our 19th year of ministry, and we've supported missionaries since the very, very beginning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we're going to be reading in verse number 1, verses 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 7. For most of us, this should be review information. For most of us, amen. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute here. So we won't spend much time on the context of this, although we will spend just a moment on it just to get everybody up to speed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to ask you to join in to read 6 and 7. Should be very familiar. You've heard it very, very often. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 1 says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. Your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as covetousness." Read verses 6 and 7 with me. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Here we find Paul once again encouraging the church at Corinth to make up the love offering they were supposed to give to the struggling Jews down in the Judea area and Jerusalem. And he's encouraging them to do that because many of the local churches in that region had done so, and they did so based upon what Corinth said they were going to do. The dilemma in that is Corinth didn't do what they said they were going to do. So now Paul is writing back to them, encouraging them to do that which they said they were going to do. In order for this to make sense to you, I'm going to ask you to do a hard thing today. I'm going to ask you to pretend like you're Greek. How many of y'all believe you got some Greek in your blood? Nobody? Amen. You might. You just never know. Amen. So we're going to pretend this morning that you are Greek. More importantly, we're going to pretend that you're not only Greek, but you are a Corinthian. You are from Corinth. And more importantly, we're going to pretend like I am Paul and you are Corinth, and I am reading this letter to you. Of course, Paul didn't read it to them. He sent it to them, and someone in the congregation stood up and read it. Amen. But we're going to look at this as if you're Corinth. Our missionaries out on the board are the struggling Jews in Jerusalem in that area needing your assistance. And I want you to contemplate what you can do and what you should do based upon what is in this passage, because that's pretty much what's going on here. What is that called, preacher? That's called applied scripture. Application. We know what it says to Corinth. We know what it means to Corinth. But now what does it mean to us? So we're going to put ourselves in their position so we can see what it means to them and what it meant to Jerusalem and Judea, but also what it means to our missionaries and what it means to us. So y'all up for the challenge today? Amen. Everybody want to think like a Greek? Amen. Say, only if I can go to Athens. Amen. Well, amen. That comes later. But praise God for it. We're going to look at this from that perspective and kind of get an idea as to what's going on here, putting ourselves in their position, knowing there's someone that needs our help. By the way, our missionaries need our help. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for Paul's heart for missions and Paul's heart for the struggling saints in Jerusalem. Thank you for the many, many faithful men, women, boys, and girls that have given to missions throughout the 19 years of this ministry's existence. Some with under the sound of my voice, some are gone, Lord, and some are giving via mail. And so, Lord, we thank you for each one that is giving to the ministry of the Shining Light Baptist Church to support missions. We know it's a mandate that we have, and Lord, we know it's a ministry that we can be involved in. And so, Lord, help us to each do our part this morning as we look at how this affects Corinth, but more importantly, how it affects us, and ultimately how it affects the world for the cause of Jesus Christ. Multitudes will be in heaven based upon missions dollars given throughout the churches around this world and this globe. Lord, and many of us today would have to be honest, if it were not for missions, we ourselves would not be saved this day and probably not be saved at all if someone hadn't given someone else the gospel to give to us. Minister to us, minister through us, Lord, provoke our hearts to do that which is right and challenge us to go above and beyond what we think we can do to do what, Lord, only we can do through your grace and through your mercy. If there's one today without Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, speak to that man, speak to that woman, speak to that boy or that girl that they won't leave here today without knowing for sure that heaven is their home and Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior and they are forgiven of their sin, no more to bother them, but then on their way to heaven for the glory of God. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Bless down the song, but then instruct in the sermon that you through all things we get all praise, honor, and glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And Mrs. Dawson's got our special. Amen. Well, everybody ready to be a Greek, right? Amen. All right. Has anybody ever been to Greece? Anybody ever ate Greek food? All right, that's a start. We ate Greek food. That's a start. Amen. You had you one of those gyros or one of those Greek salads. Amen. Caesar salad. Well, not Caesar. Caesar is Roman. Amen. But Greek. Amen. You know, praise God for being Greek. And Corinth is down in Greece, and we're going to pretend that I am Paul writing this letter to Corinth, and you are the Corinthians, amen? And so you have all the wealth of knowledge, and you have the financial resources to help those in Jerusalem, and my job then is to encourage you by way of what the Word of God says to give to the folks in Jerusalem, but we're not giving to them. We're giving to our missionaries, amen, because they're out there on the field, amen. So looking at it from that vantage point, you're a Corinthian. You're being challenged to give to the needy Jews, but the need for us is our missionaries on the field, amen. We've already covered chapter 8 last week, and we saw in chapter number 8, in verses 1 through 8, the example of the Christians, the Macedonian saints, gave because Corinth said they were going to give, and they were instructed in how to do that. We saw in verse number 9 the example of Christ, how he gave everything in chapter 8, and we can really emulate what Christ has done. Then we saw verses 10 through 15, the exhortation that was given to Corinth. He told them to give out of that which they have. Turn back there real quick, verse number 11. And notice what he says here in chapter 8, verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will. You know what that means? You want to. Amen. A readiness to will. How many of y'all want to exercise? Amen. But then the next question comes, how many of us actually exercise? Don't raise your hand. I don't want anybody to be, you know, condemned or guilty or whatever, amen. But there's a readiness to will. We want to, but then the second part of that is actually going out to, amen. And so he said there's a readiness of will. You want to. But then he says down there, readiness of will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. He says, now look at what you have, now that you're ready to do it, and then do it. Amen. And I said this, that all of us are going to give in one of three ways to missions. First of all, I've got to make sure I'm a tither and I'm giving an offering. But then I'm going to give in one of three ways. I'm going to give out of my abundance. That means I've got more money than the average person to give and I can afford to give some away. But then the second way we're going to give is by sacrifice. I'm going to have to give up something, maybe Starbucks,
maybe Baskin Robbins, maybe the Blue Light Sale, or I'm going to have to give up something. So I'm going to give out of my abundance. I'm going to sacrifice. And the other way, the third way, is exceptional faith. I've got faith that God's going to give me a group of money, and so I'm going to give based upon that group of money God's given me. Now, many of us don't give that way. Amen. And I don't encourage you to give that way unless God gives you that type of faith. Amen. Why? That inflates our number. And then if you don't have that type of faith, we are counting on that. The missionaries are counting on that. So most of us are going to give out of our abundance or out of sacrifice. And then we saw that in verse 11. But then we saw in the latter verses in chapter 8, verses 16 through 24, the escort to Corinth. Titus and his companions were going to take the money from Corinth and take it down to Judea. Corinth had a lot to be thankful for. They were started because of missions, and they were sent there from Jerusalem. And so praise God for that. As we approach the collection of our faith promise next Sunday at this same time, I want us to be challenged again from the Word of God concerning giving. Now, the question is often asked like this: why do we have a missions conference? And why is it needed? And why do you continue to encourage us every year on the same thing when we know that? Good question, isn't it? Amen. Well, let me give you this. Why is an annual missions conference needed? It's needed as a reminder of Jesus's command to reach the world with the gospel. One of the last things that Jesus said before he went to heaven was, "Go ye therefore and teach" who? All nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. One of the last things he says, go everywhere and preach the gospel. So we know that it's a reminder of Jesus' command to reach the world with the gospel. Second of all, it's needed as a review of our financial commitment to reach the world. We know that we all can't go all around the world. How many of y'all can afford to go to Greece right now? Not many of us, amen? Now, if you can afford to go to Greece, you can afford probably to give it a little bit more to missions, amen? I'm just saying. But we have to review our annual financial commitment to reach the world and see what are we doing and what can we do. So an annual missions conference is needed because it's a reminder of Jesus' command to reach the world. It's a review of our financial commitment to reach the world. Then thirdly, it's needed as a reassessment of our financial commitment to reach the world personally. As a church, we know we've got to do it. But then the church is made up of personal individuals. And so the annual missions conference then is a time for me to remind myself that Jesus said we need to reach the world. But then it's a review of my financial commitment. But then it's a reassessment. How much can I afford to give? By the way, some may be able to increase, and that's why we have it annually. By the way, some may need to decrease. And again, that's why we have it annually. Some may need to start because they stopped, and that's why we have it annually. Some may need to restart because they stopped along the way, and that's why we'd have it annually to re-encourage you. Amen. So those are the three basic reasons why we have an annual missions conference. It's a reminder of what Jesus said we ought to do. It's a review of our financial commitment to reach the world, but then it's a reassessment of how much can I invest in worldwide evangelism. By the way, you may have lost your job last year, don't have the same income. Guess what? You cannot give the same way you gave last year if you lost your job. It's an impossibility. Unless God graces you and gives you some special money from someplace else, amen? It's about the only way. So we have this annually for that reason, amen? So let's go down to our scripture here, and hopefully by God's grace, we're going to get through this, and you're going to leave here a better Greek than you came in being. Amen? Can anybody speak Greek? Anybody read Greek? I know my children took Greek last year. No, 2 years ago. They took Greek 2 years ago. You should have heard them in there. Man, they were speaking. I said, read the alphabet, and I thought, whoa. They were reading some things in Greek. I'm thinking, whoa. You know what it looked like to me? Greek, amen. I didn't read a thing, amen. I took one semester of Greek, and I thought, I cannot continue with this class, amen. I don't have the time. But looking at this, every one of us should be involved in world evangelism, both by our finances and our feet. And it's only going to be by the grace of God. And that's what chapter 8 and chapter 9 is talking about, God's grace in ministering to the churches in Jerusalem, in the Judea area. Amen. So let's look at this grace. Let me give you the definition first of all. Grace simply means favor, or loving kindness or goodwill. There's several other definitions that we have given it throughout the years. Other than faith, a favor, or loving kindness or goodwill, it also means getting what we don't deserve. That's grace. Amen. My sons got some grace. They got what they didn't deserve. They got their breakfast paid for yesterday. Terrell got the same thing. His dad paid for his. He didn't deserve it.
Yeah, yes, you did. My dad, he better pay for it. Amen.
They got grace. Amen. It's great riches at Christ's expense is another definition. It's God's strength and ability to do God's will. And one that I really like is the divine touch of God on one's heart. The divine touch of God on someone's heart. Think about that. That means that God in his magnificence touches our hearts and enables us to do what we couldn't do without his touch. He enables us to love. He enables us to give. He enables us to care. He enables us to forgive. He enables us to stretch further than we could. That's God's divine touch upon the heart of an individual, enabling that individual to do what they couldn't do without his touch. Don't we serve a good God? God is just good like that, amen? And he wants to see his will done, and so he's going to give us the ability to get his will done. By the way, the will of God for every New Testament church is Matthew 28:19. What does it say? Say it with me. Go ye therefore and teach what? All nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Next verse says, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That is the will of God for every church. And so he gives us his grace to do that, to reach the world. Amen. So in chapter number 9, we'll look at these next several verses here down to verse number 7 very, very quickly. The preparations and grace giving. Amen. Paul's primary goal was to furnish aid to those who were suffering. Our primary goal in our missions conference is to give financial and prayer support to our missionaries who are out there on the field. So you as a Corinthian, you as a Greek have a responsibility to reach the world with the gospel. And we've got missionaries out there. How many of y'all ever been to Uganda? Amen. We've got the Huckabees in Uganda. Amen. How many of y'all have ever been over to Cambodia? We got 2 Kyo over in Cambodia and Sarah. Did I say it right? Sarah Vong. Amen. In Cambodia. Now, I've never been over there. Hey, but guess what? I've been to Belgium. But guess what? We got a missionary in Belgium. And it's that church I got saved at. Who do you think is really excited about supporting that church? Me. Why? Because if it wasn't for that church, I wouldn't be saved, possibly. Amen. And so the preparations in grace giving, Paul's wanting to make sure that the financial support is ready for them to pick up so they can take it down to Judea. And notice the anticipation that he speaks about here in verses 1 and 2. Paul lets them know here in verses 1 and 2, it's superfluous or more than what is required to write to them again, to reiterate to them the same thing. And he says, I know you're excited about this. Notice verse number 1, for it's touching the ministering to the saints, of course, in Judea, it is superfluous for me to write to you again. We had a mission conference last year, did we not? It's superfluous or it's more than what's necessary for me to encourage you again and tell you that we need to do it again. You don't really need me to tell you to do that. But guess what Paul says in verse 2? For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked many. He says, you were excited about doing this, and your zeal got others provoked. By the way, if you got saved because of this ministry, you normally want to give more if you have more. That's just the way it goes. I want to give more to Belgium than any other place. I want to give more to military missions than any other type of ministry. Why? I know how it feels to be in a place and not have some Americans there and not have someone with the gospel and not have someone that can speak my language. I know how it feels to be there. Brother Tony was down in Italy. He knows how it feels to be in Italy. Amen. Pastor White and Mrs. White was in Spain. They know how it feels. And so I have a heart to want to give to them more. Paul says, I know you're excited about this. I know you want to do this. And so there's an anticipation in grace giving. But then Paul also knows there's an adversary in grace giving in verses 3 and 4. He says, I know that something can come up to make you not be prepared. Notice what he says. Yet have I sent the brethren. Now these are the brethren at the end of chapter number 8. I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf. That, as I said, ye may be ready. We send checks out to our missionaries every month. And you know what they're expecting from Shining Light Baptist Church? They're expecting their money. But you know what we are expecting at Shining Light? People to put money in the offering tray. So that we can do what? So we can put it in the bank. So we can do what? Send it to the missionaries. Why? Because they're expecting it. What do we want you to be? We want you to be prepared to give it. That's what Paul says. Again, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that we say not ye should be ashamed of the same confident boasting. In other words, what Paul is saying, we sent Titus and his brethren down there in chapter number 8. We told you about them coming. We had them be ready so that when we all come down there, the money is ready to be collected and we're ready to go take it. I don't want you to be unprepared, because if we show up with the Macedonian brothers who have already given, and we come to you and you haven't given, how's it going to make them feel who have given already? So it's going to make us look cheap-faced because we boasted and said you were ready. We boasted and said you were cheerful givers. We bragged on you and said, boy, Corinth is a great church. Hey, folks, you don't know this, but I brag on y'all. I brag on how y'all give. I brag on how generous you guys are. I brag on what you do for missions. I brag on what you did for missionary wives last year. Of course, we don't do the same thing every year. I brag on Christmas gifts that were given, Christmas letters that were sent, all the things that happened. Folks come back and say, boy, man, I thank God for this person, that person. They sent this, or they did that. I say, yeah, we got some great givers in Shining Light. We got some great givers. What am I doing? I'm boasting about you and what you do. Paul said, we boasted to Macedonia about you. But now if we come and you're not ready to give, man, we're going to be shamed. We're going to be shamed. Notice what he says again, 3 and 4. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. In this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed of the same confident boasting. Why would Paul be ashamed and them not be ashamed? Because Paul was the one who did the bragging. Paul did the equivalent is this. G2 says, boy, my dad can dunk the basketball. And he brags to all his friends. And all his friends show up to see me dunk the basketball. And I come up there and he can't dunk. Who's more embarrassed, me or Gregory? Gregory, why? He told all his friends I could do it. And I couldn't do it. Paul said, who's going to be more embarrassed if we come and you're not prepared? You or us? We would, because we told all them that you could do it and you can't do it. By the way, don't tell anybody I can dunk. Unless I got a ladder or a six-foot rim, amen? All right, so the adversary, we want to be ready before Faith Promise Sunday comes, and then week after week we want to be able to give unto the Lord. Are emergencies going to happen? Are things going to happen? Yes, that's why Paul said we're coming and sending someone beforehand to make it up. We know emergencies are going to happen, so we've got to take that missions money and set it to the side so it doesn't get spent. Somebody say amen. Now, he's talking to the Corinthians. You guys are the Corinthians. The Jews need your help, but you can't spend that which is going to go to them. Or otherwise, you'd be unprepared. You can't spend that which is going to our missionaries out there, or otherwise, we'll be unprepared. We'll set out to write a check to missionaries, and we don't have the money. You know what they call that? A bounce check. And you know how expensive it is for a bounce check? It's pretty expensive. So I appreciate it. Has that ever happened to the church? More times than we'd like to mention. someone writes a check and it bounces, and guess who's got to pay for that? The church. So not only did you not give what you said you were going to give, but we've had to pay for that which you didn't have. Wow. That hurts, doesn't it? It does hurt. So that's why I've got to take it and set it aside. Paul said, I don't want you to be unprepared. I want you to be prepared. Now let's just get practical. Is that what we want to happen to Shining Light Baptist Church? Is that the name that I want to have, a name of shame for Shining Light Baptist Church? No, because it's not going to affect you as much as it's going to affect me, because I am the pastor. What's the matter? You can't preach to your church and teach your church that they should be prepared to give? Yeah, you can lead a horse through water, but you can't make him drink. Amen. So Paul says there's going to be an adversary. There's some anticipation. I know you want to do this, but then there's an assurance in grace giving. Verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Paul said, I'm sending these folks ahead to make sure that you are ready. I don't want anybody to be ashamed by bragging. I want it to be sure that you are ready. That's why I sent these brothers. I'm assured that if they get down there, Titus and his brethren, and he talks to you guys, you'll understand why it's so important to give to this work. Folks, I think you know the importance of giving to missionaries. We have people out there on that wall that have sacrificed their life to go around the world to take the gospel for you and I, because the Bible says, go ye into all the world and teach the gospel. We know we can't go, but we have people willing to go. It's our job then to say, here's a little bit of money. Will you go for us? And guess what? They go for us. So Paul said, hey, I've got assurance that you can do this. And he said, I want you to be prepared to do this. By the way, when missionaries come here to speak, we normally give them at a minimum $150 just to speak. At $150 as a minimum just to speak. Then we pay for their lodging. Then we pay for their food. Then we pay for their transportation to get here. If they've got to fly, guess what? We pay for their flight. If they have spent gas, guess what? We pay for their gas and mileage. If they have food needs, guess what? We feed them. Guess what that takes? Money. Anybody had any guests come to your house this year? It took extra groceries, didn't it? It took somebody to fly them here, didn't it? Or drive them here, didn't it? It took money. My mom and dad came here for the month of December. Our grocery bill said, pshoo. Our water bill said, pshoo. Our gas bill said, pshoo. Amen. Am I mad that my parents came? No, I'm just talking the fact. It took money to get them here. Not only did they come, my nephew came with five of his family in June. Guess what my electric bill did during that time of the summer, which was June? Pew! And my nephew said, man, it's hot. So guess what we had to do with the air conditioner? Turn it down. And guess what the electric bill said? Pew! Gas bill, pew! We said, we'll take you to Grand Canyon. Pew! We won't stay in a hotel. It's too expensive. Amen. Hey, it took money. Am I sad they came? No, it's a fact of life. You have added expenses when you're responsible for other people. Amen. Miss Sheila flew in on Friday. You flew like this, right? It was free, right? She flew all the way here, flapping her wings. No, it costs money. Paul says, hey, look, it's going to cost something for you and I to get this done, but I want you to be prepared to do it because there are expenses involved. These people need your help down there. Our missionaries need your help. Amen. Why? Because they're helping us. Preacher, how are they helping us? Taking the gospel where we can't go, because we're supposed to go to all nations. All right, y'all with me? So we see the first part of this in verses 1 through 5, the preparations in grace giving. But then notice the promise in grace giving, verses 6 and 7. The promise in grace giving. When we look at the promise in grace giving, I want to notice, first of all, the manner in grace giving. Paul uses an agricultural principle here that we're studying in Sunday school. Sowing and what? Reaping. Amen. Agricultural principle here. Amen. Why? Because it works. And this agricultural principle can be applied to the financial and the spiritual realm. Like a farmer, more you plant, the more you yield. Just like a bank, the more you put in, the more you get back in interest. There was profit in sowing, you reap. Everything will be matched. Notice verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also how? Sparingly. He said, it's going to be matched. There's going to be a principle here The way you sow is the way you're going to reap. Amen. This came from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. It is written. Galatians 6:7 says it this way. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. I had a birthday just on Friday. And guess what? The whole family gave to me. Praise God. But guess what? Just because they gave to me, what do you think happened to them? They got blessed too. They gave to me and I gave back to them. But wait a minute. Hey, it's my birthday. What did I sow? I must have sowed something because they gave me something. Unless they just felt sorry for me. Amen. We're sorry, Dad. He's a poor in the mouth. Let's give him a Snicker bar. Poor Dad. Amen. Let's give him a chip. Here's one potato chip. You pour in the mouth. Oh, Dad, here's a little soda for you. And pour in the mouth. Got to give you. We feel sorry for you. No, I don't think so. I think that because I have given, I have reaped. Because I sowed, I have reaped. Give, and it shall be what? Given. How many of y'all pay for your birthday gift lately? Get out of here. You didn't pay me. Proverbs 11:24-25 says it this way. Turn over there real quick. Proverbs 11:24-25. My daughter, praise God for her. Amen. Proverbs 11:24-25. She said, I had to wash dishes. No, that's called a chore. Amen. Proverbs 11:24-25 says that principle this way. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. So in other words, a person scatters away from them yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet. Or they hold back more than what they're supposed to, which is right. But it tendeth to what? Poverty. So he's saying the one that scatters or that distributes liberally increases. But then there's another individual that holds back more than they should, more than what's right, but that tends to lead to poverty. Verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And it's not talking about politics there either. We're talking about liberal, amen. He's talking about a generous giver. The liberal or the generous giver shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be what? Watered also himself. He said, if you sow, you're going to reap. It's a principle of scripture. Come back over to Galatians or Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 with me, or chapter 9. And again, the Bible is clear that if you give, it's going to be given again. The saints in Jerusalem were poor. And Proverbs 19:17 says it this way, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. Proverbs 19:17. So everything will be matched. Verse number 6. Let's look at some here. If we sow sparingly, we can expect to reap how? Sparingly. You know what the word sparingly means? Stingily. How many of y'all are stingy? Don't raise your hand. If someone has ever called you stingy, that means you don't want to give what you have. Now, maybe they called it to you unfairly. Maybe they wanted what you had and you were being a wise steward and they called you stingy. That's not your fault. That's their fault. Amen. But if they ever called you stingy, they called you sparingly. And so he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. In other words, the farmer who plants or sows less seed will receive less fruit. It's a principle. By the way, if you put less money in the bank, how much interest can you expect to get out? Less interest. It's a principle. If you study less than school, what kind of grades can you expect to get back? Less than what you would have gotten. If you work out and exercise less, how many calories can you expect to burn up? Less than you would have. It's a fact of life. It's just a fact of life. I mean, hey, by the way, you can eat, drink all the hair tonic restorer you can, but if it's time for your hair to go, guess what? It's going. And whatever comes in is fake. It won't last long. Amen. And so sparingly, but then he says, if we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. Notice what he says down there. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth how? Bountifully shall reap how? Bountifully. The farmer who plants or sows more seed than the average person is going to receive more fruit. It's a principle fact. But notice what he says down here. But this I say, he would sow it sparingly, shall reap also sparingly. And he would sow it bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. every man according as he purposes in heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or in necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So God is looking for your sowing and your reaping to be done cheerfully. And we'll talk more about that later on tonight. But the main thing that I want to focus on here is verse number 7. Everybody has the means. By the way, can everybody give something? Yes. The only one that can't give something is one that has zero. And I don't think any of you have zero. By the way, the widow that had the two mites gave the two mites she had, which brought her down to what? Zero. So give you these real quick here. Everybody has the means. This is pointed. Notice what it says. How many men? Every man. This would include everyone, the sound of my voice. As this was being read to Corinth, Paul said every man. So every man, woman, boy, and girl. As I speak to you now, we've got missionaries out there. Every one of us can give to the missionaries. My children don't get a lot of allowance. But guess what? They still give to missions. Well, preacher, they only get, you know, $3 or $2. And guess what they give? They tithe first. They still have enough money to buy dad a birthday gift. And they get to missions. Now, they're not going to be Rockefellers or Ted Turners or Steph Currys. But when they are, they going to give to me. Amen. They're not going to give an exorbitant amount of money. But every man can give. Every woman can give. Every boy, every girl can give. It doesn't matter how much you give. It's how much you give out of that which you have. Amen. He said, every man, this is pointed, every man, every boy, every girl, everybody will get a faith promise card next week. This is on purpose. Every man according as he what? Purposeth in his heart. So this is pointed. Every man is on purpose. I've got to do this on purpose. It is not by accident. How many of y'all went to the doctor last week on accident? How many of y'all went to the emergency room by accident? Well, how'd you get here? Well, I just showed up by accident. No, we don't do that. You know how we get to the emergency room? On purpose. You know how we get to a doctor? On purpose. You know how we get to the dentist? On purpose. You know how we get to the practice field? On purpose. You know how we get to school? On purpose. You know how we get to wherever we're going? On purpose. This giving is going to be purpose. It says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So everybody has the means. It will be on purpose. It's a choice that I've got to make. By the way, you pay your electric bill on purpose. You pay your gas bill on purpose. You pay your mortgage on purpose. You put gas in your car on purpose. Forget to do it and see what happens. On purpose, you will run out and it won't be an accident. Man, I accidentally ran out of gas. No, you didn't. On purpose, you forgot. Amen. And so you ran out. It's going to be intentionally when we do it. Remember Daniel? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Amen. So it's going to be pointed. Every man is on purpose in his heart. But then it should cause some production. It says, so let him what? Give. It's every man, boy, and girl. Everybody has the opportunity. It's on purpose. It should cause production. Amen. Let him give. So it's not even an option. If I purpose to do it, let's do it. Can everybody do it? Yes. Were the Jerusalem saints down there struggling? Yes. How many of them were struggling? All of them. So how many could give through Corinth? All of them. Did everybody have to give the same amount of money? No, they didn't. But they should have given something. Why? Every man according as he purposeth. But then this production should cause me some pondering. Notice what he says. Let him give. He specifies not how. Grudgingly. How many of y'all saw Scrooge this year? How many of y'all ever saw Scrooge before? Christmas Carol. Amen. How did Scrooge want to give? He didn't. He didn't. He didn't want to give coal for the little stove so that Cratchit could get warm. He wanted to give to the boys down there in the old home. He said, don't they have prisons or workhouses to go to? Oh, boy, such generosity. He said, I pay for those public institutions. So why should I have to give to you to give to them when they're public institutions that can feed them? Amen. Grudgingly, amen. What does it mean to give grudgingly? Oh, man, it means to give in sorrow or to show pain. Parents, you know how it is. Your children come to you and ask for one more thing. You're like, oh, man, this hurts. I come to my kids. I say, y'all killing me, man. Dying a slow death here. Hey, not grudgingly. Or of what? Necessity by law or duty. In other words, he's saying, as you give to the saints in Jerusalem, this shouldn't be sorrow or painful. This shouldn't be out of law or duty. You should love to do it because somebody gave to help you. That's how you got started. That's what helped you. Hey, folks, that's how you and I got saved. So when we look at the missionaries out there, it shouldn't pain us to want to give to them. It shouldn't be a law or a duty. We should do it because we love God, because God loved us and gave to us, so we should give to them. So Paul said, check how you're doing this, how you're meeting the needs of our missionaries. Are you meeting them grudgingly? Are you meeting them sparingly? Are you meeting them out of necessity? God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. By the way, all of our missionary wives last year got a little care package. You know how we gave to them? Cheerfully. You know how they received it? Blessedly. You know how we felt when they got it? Blessedly. Excitedly. You know what that made us want to do? Give some more. Amen. It made us want to give some more. Cheerful giver. Are we doing that this year? No, we got something else we're probably going to do this year. Amen. Cheerful giver means hilarious, joyous. God is interested in what we give, but more importantly, he's interested in how we give out of what we have. So as we contemplate what we're going to do for our missions program, we know that we need to do it. God said, go ye into all the world. We know we're going to have to reevaluate it and see, what can I do this year? We know we may have to decrease, but some bit may be able to increase. We know what Paul is saying here. If I sow sparingly, I'm going to reap sparingly. But if I sow bountifully, I'm going to reap bountifully. I understand that. And I'm not giving to get. I'm giving because I love God. And God will never be your debtor. He will always outgive what you give. He just will. Maybe you have. I've never met a child that outgave their parents. When I say that, I mean the child never gave to the parent more than the parent gave them. I've never seen it. The parent always gives to that child. Now, maybe you say, well, Kevin Durant gave his mother a $1 million house. I don't care how much $1 million house. You can't repay being a parent. You just can't repay being a parent. I don't care how many millions you give them. You can't repay. Now, you can give, but you cannot repay being a parent, because it's 24 hours a day. Amen. And so I've never met a parent that didn't give more to the child. What am I saying here? Everything will be matched. You're going to sow and you're going to reap. And if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Hey, folks, I am still, to this day, convinced that God gave us the $495,000 because we gave to missions. I'm still convinced of that. There's no other way you can explain it. We were faithful to take on missionaries when people told me I was stupid, when they told me I was insane, when they said, you're not even getting a salary yourself. I said, if I take care of God's people, I'm trusting God to take care of me. I am convinced that we got that money because of our care for missionaries. Why? We were faithful to sow bountifully. And we reaped bountifully. Who? We collectively did. $494,000. When's the last time somebody gave you $495,000? Who didn't know you. And it wasn't an inheritance. They didn't know you from Adam. You're just another name on the books. When's the last time that happened to you? Never. Why? Because of God's grace. And I believe it's because we as a church were sowing bountifully and we reap bountifully. And I believe it's because every man purposed in his heart, he gave, it wasn't grudgingly, it wasn't of necessity. He was a cheerful giver, and God blessed Shining Light Baptist Church as a result of that. Folks, I want to keep being blessed. Paul wanted the Corinthians to continue being blessed, but he said, you know what, this is something that you really need to do. You need to take care of those struggling saints down there. They really could use your help right now. And I assure you, if you help them, you'll be blessed. I assure you, if you help our missionaries out there on that wall, you will be blessed. Preacher, what do I have to give? Whatever God lays on your heart. Make sure you're tithing first. Make sure you're giving an offering first. But then above that, whatever God lays on your heart, it doesn't have to be big. God may not lay anything big on your heart. He may lay something small. But guess what? Whatever he lays on your heart, that's what you ought to give. Paul is writing to them. He said, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. But this shouldn't be grudgingly. It shouldn't be of necessity. Why? God loves a cheerful giver. Folks, I'm convinced that God has his hand on Shining Light for none other reason than we are faithful to give to missions. Do we give billions of dollars? No, because we can't afford to give that much, but we give what we can give. And God bless us. Folks, the size of our church, I marvel at what God does with a church this size, financially. From the folks that are faithful to tithe correctly and consistently, I marvel at what God does with Shining Light Baptist Church, both in the general fund and in missions. We do more with less than the average church that I know. We do more with less. We're not rich. But guess what? We're rich in spirit. We're rich in grace because we've got a God that's good. And God always supplies our need. God always meets the need. May not do what we want him to do it, but he always does it. He always does. He always shows up exactly when he needs to show up. Amen. Sometimes I'm going like this. God, are you going to show up? We got this need. God says, what are you biting your nails for? Just clip them. You'll be all right. And then he shows up. Bing. I say, man, why did I ever doubt? Whatever doubt. All of a sudden, boom, a blessing comes in over there. Blessing comes in over here. Blessing comes in. Wow, man, why did I doubt? But I'm human, just like you. And I do sometimes doubt. I say, man, is God going to come through? Man, Lord, you know this need we got. God says, have I ever been late before? On your timetable, no. Mine, yeah. But God says, I've been right on time. I was there exactly when I needed you, when I needed to be there. Folks, as we contemplate what God wants to do with us between now and tonight, starting on Wednesday, you be in prayer asking what God can do with you as a channel of blessing. He said, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. He gives you the reckoning. Everything is going to be matched in verse 6. But then he gives you the reason there. He said, everybody has the means. It's going to be pointed. Every man. It's going to be on purpose. It's going to cause some production. Let him give. It's going to be pondering, not grudgingly or necessity. Why? God loves a cheerful giver. And we mentioned this last week. You're not forced to give. That's the beauty of it all. You're not forced to give. But it does show. By the way, as a parent, there are certain things that you don't have to give your child. By law, you're required to give certain things. But there are certain things you don't have to give. But the more you give to your child, the more you show how much you love your child. By the way, sometimes withholding from your child shows that you love your child. Sometimes withholding, they may not understand that. But sometimes withholding something from them shows that you love them. And sometimes giving them some things that they don't like to receive themselves shows that you love them. Amen. Folks, as we embark upon this time, you let God speak to your heart and say, God, what do you want to do with me? Don't think about your neighbor. Think about what God wants to do with you as a man, as a woman, as a boy, as a girl, as a family, as a couple. What does God want to do with you? Father, bless now this invitation time. Lord, there could be someone here today without Jesus Christ, and we're talking about reaching the world with the gospel. And maybe that man, that woman, that boy or girl, they're here without Jesus Christ, and they need to be saved themselves. Lord, open their hearts, open their minds to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would know how much you love them and show them that they can be saved today. And the rest of us that are saved, Lord, help us to contemplate what you want to do with us and how you want to distribute our finances to worldwide evangelism. Thank you for meeting our need. Thank you for allowing us to put ourselves in the place of the Corinthians and being responsible to meet a need to our missionaries. And Lord, help us to do that which is pleasing in your sight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, if I died right now today, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. I really want to make sure heaven is my home. Can you pray for me right where you're sitting? Just lift your hand up. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it right back down. Right where you're at, I'm not sure if I died right now that I would go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Pastor, would you pray for me that I can be sure that heaven is my home? I can be sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell, that is for sure, but I want to be sure I go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all around this room, man, woman, boy, or girl, I'm not sure heaven is my home. Pray for me. Then Christian, how about you? Do you know what God wants you to give this coming year and the capacity he wants to use you? If not, I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me so I'll know how God wants to use me this year. Whether it's financially or any other way, I want to know how God wants to use me, but I'm unsure. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place, folks. I agree with you. Amen. You may put them down. I don't know about you, but I want to be used by God. The only thing is, I just don't know what to do. And I'm right along with you. Lord, pray. I pray that you give me wisdom. You know, when you have a salary that fluctuates, is up and down, you don't really know what to expect. It's difficult, but you do know God wants you to give. Father, bless now these hands that are raised. My hand goes up with them. You give us wisdom as a church to know. We've got to look at what we have. We've got to look at what bills that we have and what things are required of us. And then, Lord, out of what we have, we need to be able to give and be responsible to give to missions. It's something that you want us to do. It shows how much we love you and how much we love others. So God, give us wisdom. Every hand that was raised, give them wisdom as a couple, as a single, as a family, as a unit, whatever it is. Lord, give us that wisdom that we may know how to gauge. We know what our need is as a church. Some may be able to give more. Some may have to give less. But Lord, help us all to be involved in worldwide evangelism for Jesus' sake. Lord, there's one today without Jesus Christ. Help that man, that one woman, that boy or girl to be saved before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name we pray.